Good morning and welcome to this terrific Tuesday on Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek and I want you to listen for something. You ready? It's the bell. What's going on? You probably already know today is an incredibly important day in the life of the church and in each of our lives. Today we celebrate the solemnity of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So it's a real big day for us. It's a holy day of obligation. Make sure you get to church if you can. Today on the program, we're going to be joined by our friend Father Edward Looney, who's going to be talking about a recent blog post that he wrote. As a matter of fact, it just came up today on Catholic Exchange. It's called Making Assumptions About the Assumption. Father Looney's going to address such questions as, did Mary die? Where did the Assumption take place? And one of the most popular questions he gets about this, how old was Mary when she died? So we're going to find out some things about the Assumption of the Blessed Mother. Also, we will be joined on the program today by Deacon Greg Kandra, who has recently written an article, this is an interesting one, based on the Holy Father's comments, a lot of Catholics think they're perfect and despise others, and this is sad. So that's going to be interesting to get Deacon Greg's feedback on that. We've got our usual assortment of music as well. So let's kick things off in prayer today, since it is the Assumption and we honor our Blessed Mother. We want to turn to her today and pray a very familiar prayer. Please join me in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, by my side, amen, as usual, Dave Parker.
Good morning, Gary.
David,
how Gary,
are you today? You doing
I'm
all
well,
right?
Sir. I'm well. Yes.
Frank Eliason, our Director of Operations. Man, it was good to see you this morning.
I'm exhausted.
More so than usual.
Well, people don't realize, like, one of the things that happened is, you know, when we had an electrical outage last night, and so at 1:30 in the morning, my phone started going off.
Oh.
Because it calls me when there's an electrical when we go off the air for any reason. So not only does it go off at 1 o'clock, that's my cell phone, or 1:30. Not only my cell phone, so does the house phone.
Oh boy!
And by the way, this does not stop for about 40 minutes until that loses power and it's all completely done. So I was up from 1:30 till about 2:30 last night, and we. So for those that may have tried to listen during the course of the night and did not hear anything, the reality was there was an electrical outage that happened in the course of the night, and so, you know, and then when things come back, you know, not everything is quite up and running as you would expect. Although we were broadcasting and whatnot, it's just one of those things that does happen. So yes, my evening was quite filled with phone calls.
And what's interesting is you walked in the door this morning. We weren't sure if you were going to be here because you had a business trip planned, which has been postponed. Thank you, Lord. And Dave, I find this amazing. In the midst of getting everything up and running, I was also trying to do something that I like to do, print out some material for the show.
Now we won't get back into your paper obsession.
But the amazing thing is Frank walks in, right, fixing all of our other problems. He's got a printer cartridge in his hand to address the printing problem that I was about to mention.
How did he know? He knew. How did he?
I don't know.
And, well, that's actually a story in itself because, you know, actually might as well tell everybody we're going to have a radiothon coming up in September 20th, 21st,
right,
and 22nd.
All right. I'm looking forward to it.
So we're preparing a mailing to let everybody know about that. And the reality is you don't have to wait till the radiothon, you know, if you can certainly help out. So we're preparing for that, you know, and that does require printing a lot of different things to send out. Well, what's interesting is, so yesterday I ordered some ink because I'm printing not only here, I'm also printing at my house because there's a lot to print.
Wow.
And I did not get my shipment. So last night, went running to Staples to try and get the ink that I needed, and they did not have it. Now, here we were out of one color, and so I actually was able to get that one. I had that, walked in with it. So literally after the show is over, as soon as Staples opens here, I will be visiting our friends at Staples to pick up some more ink.
Hey, Gary, what would we do without Frank?
I mean, don't know.
We're not worthy, folks. We're not worthy.
So it's very good to see you for a lot of reasons today. And so I was able to print out everything. Let's do a quick look at the weather forecast today. Currently at the Philadelphia International Airport, 73 degrees. Under overcast skies today, scattered showers before noon. Then we'll have that chance of showers and thunderstorms that we've been having, it seems like, every day for as long as I've been reading the weather, with a high near 79 degrees today. Tonight, chance of showers and thunderstorms once again, gradually clearing. We'll have a low around 72. Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 89 degrees. So we're back up into the heat tomorrow, it sounds like. Enjoy the summer because...
Yes.
I don't want to be a downer here, but
well, then don't be.
All right, then I'll just leave. But I don't know, Mr. Parker, you're our resident weather geek, or that's what you call yourself, self-proclaimed weather geek.
Yeah.
Our scientific-minded person on the program as well.
Well, thanks. I try to be.
It seems to me, the uneducated observer that I am, that the days are getting a little shorter.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean that's a fact. I see a lot more darkness when I'm driving.
I know.
To the studio.
Yeah, yes, we are. Yes, it is true, and it is dark. And then, well, that went to the kind of the power outage. Like driving up, I'm thinking, well, maybe because the sunrise is just we're getting further and further, or shorter and shorter. Maybe it just the power just didn't come up. And then, no, come to find out that we were off the air.
Yep,
so, but yeah, to your point.
But it seems a little darker. That's okay.
It seems a little darker, and we're gonna. Well, hey, we're going all the way down till the shortest day in December.
Which is
December 21st.
Okay,
somewhere around there. I should know that, but. That would be the we haven't even hit the autumnal equinox yet.
So we'll get to
that. We'll get to that.
We don't
want
to give
folks.
Away too much, Dave.
Yeah, we're losing light. We're losing light.
That was my point. But it's okay. Yeah. I just notice a difference in driving to the studio. I can see the studio because in the winter when I drive here, I literally can't see the studio because we're out in the middle of the country here.
Yeah.
Until I'm right in the parking lot. It's really, really dark around
here. It is.
You know what happened, by the way? Another thing. This before I read the gospel, very important
gospel.
What
happened, Gary?
All right. You know I've had several encounters with our dear friends, and I don't mean our D-E-A-R friends. I mean D-E-E-R.
Yeah.
I live in Mount Laurel, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. A lot of woods around there, so we have lots of deers there. We have deer here. They're all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pulling out of my driveway today. Right, and some people in my neighborhood have—I don't know why—but they have statues of deers on their grass. That must be a big thing around where I live. At any rate, two doors down, I'm driving, and there were at least two deer staring at me. And I thought, wait a minute, are these statues? And I said, they're not statues. They're looking at me.
They started coming at you.
No. They're looking at me, saying, like, what are you? The look is this as if they're saying, what are you doing here?
Yeah,
what are you looking at?
What are you up for?
So, yeah,
you should be
the
sleeping.
Deer were out this morning.
Human.
Right around the corner from me, right two doors down, just having their breakfast.
I just had this thought. I mean, are Jersey deer, different from PA deer?
I don't know.
Maybe they're more Jersey-fied. I don't know.
I don't know. If I'm able to catch one or to talk with one, I will maybe find that out one day. But
Please let us know.
I don't know. Now, this is another one of those scientific facts. There seem to be more deer out than there used to be.
Yes.
I mean, I used to live in Mount Laurel before. I moved to Cinnaminson. I moved back to Mount Laurel. I see more deer than I used to. Mm-hmm. Around here, they're all over the place.
They're all over the place. Well, again, we go through, there are a lot of little fawns running around now, I think. The birthing process.
I saw some of those the other day, too, yeah.
But the food is plentiful. The fields, because of the crops and everything else, there's a lot of food out there. So they're feeding more in the open.
Okay, well, that makes it. You see, anytime I wonder about things, Dave, I turn to you.
Maybe
because you have answers, my friend. You have answers. So
don't anybody look that up, okay?
That's right.
That's my answer.
Let's
stick into it.
Let's do the gospel today, which is a special gospel for today's solemnity. This is going to sound familiar because we talked about this episode with Danielle Bean on the show yesterday. It comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 56. Mary set out. and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." And Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm and has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones, and he has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his children forever." Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. Now, we're going to talk more about the Assumption when Father Looney joins us later in the program. But right now, we look at this very familiar reading. This is known as the Visitation, where as soon as Mary found out that she was pregnant with Jesus, she left in haste to help her elderly cousin Elizabeth, who was pregnant with St. John the Baptist. When Elizabeth praised Mary, first thing she did was praise Mary. What did Mary do, Dave Parker? She turned the attention to the Lord.
Exactly.
And said, "You know what? It's not about me. Mm-hmm. It's about him." Mm-hmm. Man, that is humility at its finest.
Really?
She
the epitome in the example that we should all follow.
Yeah. So many times we take credit for our talents. And, yeah, we shouldn't deny that we all have talents. We all have gifts. We've all had that ability at times to do the right thing, to avoid sin, as Mary did for her entire life. But Mary recognized that it was all about grace, the grace the Lord was giving her. Mm-hmm. She got it. Yes. And I think that's a great mm-hmm. lesson for us today, to remember that all the good we do, it comes about because of the Lord's grace.
Amen.
Right? All we need to do is cooperate with that grace.
Exactly.
Blessed Mother, help us to remember that. When we come back, Deacon Greg Kanderer, we're going to be talking about perfect Catholics. Are you one? We'll talk about it. Stay tuned.
This is Franciscan Media Saint of the Day for August 15th. Today we celebrate the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Today's feast has been observed since at least the 5th or 6th century, but it was only in the mid-20th century that Pope Pius XII formally proclaimed the Assumption of Mary as a dogma of our faith. On November 1, 1950, the Holy Father said, "We pronounce, declare, and define it to be divinely revealed dogma that the Immaculate Mother of God, having completed the course of her earthly life, was assumed body and soul to heavenly glory." The Pope proclaimed this dogma only after a broad consultation with bishops, theologians, and laity. There were few dissenting voices. When did Mary die? Where did Mary die? How did Mary die? Scripture does not give us definitive answers to any of these questions or an account of her assumption. Some place it just after death, but before burial. Others say she did not die at all, but was assumed into heaven at the end of her natural life. What we do know and believe is that Mary shares in her Son's glory. So close was she to Jesus on earth, she must be with him body and soul in heaven. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Summers and Zims. Summers and Zims provides quality service in plumbing, heating, and air conditioning and refrigeration. They are proud to serve Westchester, Exton, Downingtown, Coatesville, and Kennett Square. They also serve southern and eastern Lancaster County. Summers and Zim's telephone number is 610-593-5129, and their website is sumzim.com.
More inspiring than a cheesesteak. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
That was Steal My Show by Toby Mac. Lord, if you want to steal my show, go ahead and take it away. That's my philosophy here on Spirit in the Morning, and I think it should be all of our philosophies today. Lord, take over for me. Whatever you want to do with my life, go ahead and do it. I'm Gary Zimak. Thank you for listening to the program today. Several years ago, when I was doing some online writing for Catholic websites, I wrote a blog post, and it was called Pope Francis Makes Me Uncomfortable. And the reason I wrote that was, as someone who tends to get a little complacent in my Catholicism, I tend to think like, oh man, I got this all down. I'm doing such a good job. The Holy Father would repeatedly come out with a zinger or some comment that would make me feel uncomfortable and make me look at myself and say, you know what? I'm not really that perfect. Well, recently the Pope is at it again. And he made a comment that a lot of Catholics think they're perfect and they despise others, and this is sad. Man, that is a powerful statement. And recently, Deacon Greg Kandra wrote a post about this. He called attention to this. Deacon Greg is a Roman Catholic deacon for the Diocese of Brooklyn, and for nearly three decades, he was a writer and producer for CBS News. He now serves as multimedia editor for Catholic Near East Welfare Association, and he's a regular blogger at aletheia.org. Deacon Greg joins us on the program now to talk a little about this. Deacon Greg, good morning.
Good morning, Gary.
Thanks so much for coming on the show to talk about this great post that you put up. Perfect Catholics, Deacon Greg. You know, this is ruffling a few feathers, right, yeah. To say the least.
It certainly is. You know, when I put that up, also posted on social media, on Facebook and Twitter and all that.
Yeah.
And the response was interesting. I heard from a lot of people who said, you know, this is horrible. Who is he talking about? And I said to people, all you have to do is spend any time on social media, yeah, and you'll see exactly who he's talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, and we've talked about that a lot on this program. This is a favorite topic of ours. That's why I'm really glad you'd come on the show to address this. We can all fall victim to this, I think, at times. We go on social media, we post, even if it's with good intentions, then somebody attacks us, and then, boom, the gloves are off, and we go at them. This is a real problem, isn't it?
It is. I think there's a kind of a polarization in the church now, and it's being played out, you know, tragically, very much in the public sphere.
Right.
Where you have Catholics bashing Catholics over, you know, some of the things that people are going after one another for are really so, in the large scheme of things, unimportant. Things like holding hands during the Our Father.
Oh, yeah, that's a big one, Deacon. That's a big
wearing
one.
Wearing veils in church.
Yeah.
You know, receiving communion on the tongue. These are the, you know, the hills that people want to die on over the faith. And it's sad to see Catholics going at one another like this and to judge one another so harshly. And it reflects badly on us, and I think this is the kind of mentality that the Holy Father was talking about.
And there is just something about the way he just has this knack for shaking us all up. He shakes me up. He really does make me uncomfortable, because there are times that I just get very complacent, and I really do start to feel good about myself as a Catholic. And then he'll talk about, well, what are you doing for the poor? And it's like, ah, man, he got me again.
Yeah.
But I think that's good for us, don't you?
You know, I did the exact same thing shortly after he became Pope. I put up a blog post where I said, this Pope is getting to me. And he gets under your skin, and he challenges us in ways that I think a lot of us aren't comfortable with. And that's a good thing. You know, you shouldn't be completely comfortable.
Right.
Once you start to get comfortable, you become lazy, and you take things for granted, and you start to backslide, and that's not a good thing.
Deacon Greg, what do you think we can do? You know, we talk about this social media problem. I had Teresa Tomeo talking on it. She was on the show discussing it. So many people have come on because I'm really concerned about it. What can I do? I'm one person. What can I do to try to bring about peace in the world? You know, starting with me, starting on social media. What's the best approach for me as somebody who's active on social media, especially when I do care about morality? I do care about the state of the world. There are times I feel like I should post something. How do I avoid being negative and maybe causing problems?
Well, once again, the Holy Father, I think, has pointed the way. You know, we had just a few months ago, we completed the Year of Mercy.
Right.
And he's been calling on us to live merciful lives and to throw ourselves on the mercy of God, and we need to be more merciful toward one another.
Right.
And we need to look at one another with love and with hope instead of with condemnation and judgment. And I do think it has to begin with all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Bishop Christopher Coyne gave a wonderful homily a few years ago at a gathering of Catholic journalists of the Catholic Press Association, and he's talked about this very specific problem and how we need to bring a different mindset to working and engaging in social media and being a lot more humble and a lot more tolerant and not always trying to have the last word and get into fights with people all the time, because, as I keep telling people, it's a big church and there has to be room for everybody.
Yeah, and one of the things that I notice, and you point this out, is we are now seeing Catholics picking on other Catholics, hand-holding at the Our Father, that is a big thing. We hear that all the time, the selection of hymns. You know, you like this hymn, we need to bring this other hymn back, and the veils and the not wearing the veils and the communion on the tongue versus on the hand. I mean, do you think that we have I think I know this answer, but we've taken it a little bit too far, haven't we? If the church says something is acceptable, that's really not my business to start criticizing, is it?
No, and of course not. And we need to be more accepting of people whose practices might be different. As I keep telling people, I can never know what's in the heart of the person standing next to me at Mass.
Right.
And where they're coming from. And some of these people who are being so loudly condemned from one side or the other, and you get it from both sides.
Yes.
That person, you know, may be a saint, and I don't know it. And I'm not willing to see that. You know, it could be a better Catholic than I am.
Wow.
And, you know, we need to think about people differently and think more openly toward them, I think.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the things that I noticed, I was lukewarm for many years, went through the motions, and I had a pretty big conversion experience. And I, at that point, I started really trying to learn a lot of the details of my Catholic faith, things which I ignored for years. And Deacon Greg, what happened in my life was not necessarily a good thing, because what happened was I was focusing so much on the intellectual knowledge and learning more and more that I started to look down on others at church, thinking, well, you know what, they don't know this, or look, they're receiving communion in the hand, they obviously don't get it. And then it wasn't until I really had this personal encounter with Christ, I started to see things differently. And I still struggle with that. But do you find that to be the case sometimes, where we start out with good intentions, I want to learn more about my faith, and before you know it, we're looking down at other Catholics who we think don't get it?
Yeah, and you know, I was just glancing at Christopher Coyne's homily that we just talked about,
yeah.
And he made such a good point, and I try to keep this in mind myself when I'm engaging in social media, but it's a good thing to remember in living our lives as Catholics in the world. He asked the question, is what I'm doing building up or tearing down?
Wow.
And I think we need to have that mindset much more than we do. You know, is what I'm doing contributing to the church? Am I building up the body of Christ, or am I inflicting more wounds on it?
Wow.
And that's a challenge for all of us to keep in mind and to carry with us, I think.
It sure is. Deacon Greg Kander, I really appreciate you coming on the program. I've been a fan of yours for a long time, and I'm so glad we're able to connect and get you on the show. If anybody wants to follow more of your work, where's the best place online?
I am at Aletheia, Aletheia.org.
Okay, very good. And I'm going to have that linked at spiritinthemorning.com. Thank you for being a voice of reason. I love following your online post. You do a great job, Deacon. And I hope we can get you on the show again sometime.
Happy to be here, Gary. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, my friend, Deacon Greg Kandra from Aletheia.org. Dave Parker, he made some really good points, didn't he?
Yes, very clear, succinct, and pretty simple if we just follow them.
Yeah, yeah. Am I building up the church, or am I tearing it down?
Perfect.
Right?
Perfect,
I mean,
yeah.
I might have good intentions,
mm-hmm.
and I might really be bugged by something.
Absolutely.
But
yeah, I know.
Maybe think twice about what I'm about to post.
Yeah, because if I think I'm building up, but it's filtered through something that makes me negative, it's not really building up.
Yeah.
We have to check ourselves.
One of the things that the Holy Father does really good, he is in touch with people, and he tries to meet them where they are. I think we could all stand to learn something from that. Great, great stuff from Deacon Greg Kandra. We will have his information linked at spiritinthemorning.com. When we come back, making assumptions about the assumption with our friend, Father Edward Looney. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. The deadly white nationalist rally in Charlottesville, Virginia, is fueling another re-evaluation of Confederate statues in cities across the nation. It's happening in much the same way that a mass shooting by a white supremacist inside a South Carolina church accelerated the removal of the Confederate flag in South Carolina. Statues are being removed or slated for removal in Gainesville, Florida, Baltimore, San Antonio, and elsewhere. Meanwhile, President Donald Trump declared yesterday that, quote, racism is evil, as he specifically condemned the KKK, neo-Nazis, and white supremacists as criminals and thugs. Trump's remarks were his second denouncing of the violence in Charlottesville. He had been criticized for not specifically calling out the white supremacist groups involved, blaming only, quote, many sides. And Pope Francis is praising acceptance for migrants as a way to show brotherhood, even as Europe's welcome mat wears thin. The Holy Father sent a message yesterday to a diocesan-organized conference in southern Italy promoting brotherhood in the Mediterranean area. He encouraged all Christians, young people, and all people of goodwill to, quote, consider the presence of migrants an opportunity for human growth, encounter, and dialogue, as well as an opportunity to practice charity. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
There will be an annual chicken barbecue at Soderton Mennonite Home, 207 West Summit Street, Soderton, PA, on August 26, 2017, from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. This is also the Soderton Mennonite Home's 100th anniversary. Food choices are chicken barbecue platters, sausage sandwiches, hamburgers, hot dogs with Rita's water ice, pies by the slice, and ice cream. The activities for adults are the silent auction, the car show, PA Dutch bake sale, Mommy's Market, and a gospel music concert by the Bruner family. Activities for the kids are moon bounces, a photo booth, face painting, basketball challenges, spin art, and a live animal show by Lehigh Valley Zoo. There will also be a visit from the Philadelphia Phillies fanatic. For more information, you may visit www.livingbranches.org/events. That's www.livingbranches.org/events. We hope to see you on August 26th.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Sarah Hart's album Above Earth's Lamentation was inspired by a period of intense grief during which she became comfortable with the idea of death, even her own. She addresses that in her song One Beautiful Day, which she wrote while thinking of the day her cancer-stricken grandmother died. Sarah said, I was with her, my mother, and two aunts, and we sat around my grandma, prayed the rosary, told stories, and laughed. When it was over, I remember thinking, please, Lord, let me go like that. It was sad, and there were a lot of tears, but it was also a celebration. We will see each other again, and this is not a scary thing. This is a beautiful thing that we as Christians have been hoping for and longing for. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
You are listening to
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before. Still I will follow, though none.
I Have Decided to Follow Jesus by Catherine Scott. We have all made that decision at one point in time or another. The trick is to not turn back and to keep following Jesus. I'm Gary Zemeck. You're listening to Spirit in the Morning. The time right now, 7:35. Well, today, as I mentioned at the start of the program, is a special day. It's a solemnity. Today, we celebrate the solemnity of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And here to share some insight with us about Mary's Assumption into Heaven is Father Edward Looney. He's the author of A Heart Like Mary's, which is available now for pre-order on Amazon from Ave Maria Press. And you can also find more about Father by visiting his website, edwardlooney.com. Father, good morning.
Good morning, Gary, and what a great joy to be with you. Anytime that I have the opportunity to share my love of Mary, it always brings me great joy.
And Father, I'm so grateful. Every time I reach out to you to ask you to come on the show, you're very busy and you always say yes. So thank you. Thank you for doing that. Father, for the benefit of those who may be a little confused about the Assumption, because sometimes people do get confused, Assumption, Ascension, why are we going to Mass today? Talk a little bit about this solemnity of the Assumption. What exactly is it?
Sure. Maybe just to preface, you know, a lot of these Marian dogmas or feasts that we have are sometimes confusing for the people. Like, lots of people are always confused about the Immaculate Conception and what that really is.
Yes.
And so the Assumption really is this belief that has been believed for many centuries, really going back to the early church, you know, maybe in the 200s, 300s, there's early witnesses of it, that the Holy Father, when he announced the dogma and proclaimed it in 1950, said this is something we've believed for so long that now we're actually going to make it a part of our official belief as a dogma and not just a doctrine or a teaching. And so really the Assumption then is this belief that Mary is assumed body and soul into heaven. I think Fulton Sheen best describes kind of the action of the Assumption, that he says that Mary, who was on this earth, was still caught up in the great love that she had for God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and especially for her Son. And so that as Jesus ascends into heaven, that then there he is in heaven. And the love between the two of them attracts so much that it's almost as if the love itself assumes her into heaven.
Wow.
When we talk about the Ascension, for example, like that's an action of Jesus himself. Like he freely chooses to do that. But the Assumption is Jesus choosing to bring his mother, lifting her up, raising her up into the heavenly heights.
Now, we're going to talk more about this great blog post that you have over at Catholic Exchange, and I will link to that at spiritinthemorning.com. The post is Making Assumptions About the Assumption. But before we do that, I'm really glad you pointed out the fact that the dogma of the Assumption, it's not something that all of a sudden the Pope came up with in 1950, as is sometimes mistakenly thought of as being the case. This is something that the Church has believed for many, many years.
Absolutely. Even in the, you know, thinking about the 12th century, for example, there are homilies that I've read of St. Bernard of Clairvaux that he's preaching on the Assumption. And so it was a liturgical feast even, just not a dogma.
Right, right. Now let's take a look at some of the questions you bring up, and these are common questions that people may have about the Assumption. And again, we will have Making Assumptions About the Assumption linked at spiritinthemorning.com. Father, did Mary die?
It's an excellent question. And when we make these assumptions, why I'm saying we're making assumptions about is really because the facts of the Assumption are very much unknown to us. None of us were witnesses of it. We have some texts, but you know they've been handed down. Like there's a document in the Eastern Church called the Transitus Mariae, for example, that talks about her passing from this life. And so did Mary die? There are really three positions, kind of this dormition position, that Mary just falls asleep, and at some time then the Lord lifts her up into heaven. Mm-hmm. Then there's an assumptionist position, which says that Mary dies and then is placed in the tomb, and then later it's discovered it's empty. But then there's also what we would call the immortalist position, in which, you know, I often envision the immortalist position being that Mary goes up on a high mountain and maybe the disciples are around her and then she's kind of taken up, sometimes I use the language zapped up, into heaven.
Right.
And that's another possibility. There's actually last night, I was on Twitter, I was seeing what somebody posted, and of course the Dominican posted, you know, what we can learn from Mary never dying, and you know, that was his homily or something.
Yeah.
And I just responded, well, that's such an immortalist position that a Thomist would take, because St. Thomas Aquinas really would promote this. Because the immortalist position, they would say, well, Mary doesn't need to die. She's not the Redeemer. And because she's not the Redeemer, then the Lord can just choose to take her without passing or dying away from this life. But there's some of these biographies that mystics receive, Maria of Agreda, for example, she actually says that Mary was given the choice, that in the vision she had of Mary's life, that Mary was asked, would you like me to take you home now, or would you like to pass from this life? And she chooses to die in a death like her, not like similar to her son, but just in the very fact of passing from this life.
But really, Father, what I'm getting from what you're saying is the Church doesn't have an official position on that, correct?
No. Right. In fact, in the dogma, I can't quote it verbatim here, but it's something like, you know, as she reached the end of her life, that the Lord assumed her body and soul into heaven, it very much leaves open-ended the question about whether or not she passed from this life, because there has been a lot of debate over the topic.
Yeah, yeah. How about speculation on where the assumption took place?
If any of your listeners, or maybe yourself, if you've been to the Holy Land, if you go to Jerusalem, there's two places that really mark a commemoration of the Assumption.
Mm-hmm.
The first would be Dormition Abbey, which is a Benedictine monastery. And in the crypt there, there's, you know, Mary lying on a funeral bier, and, you know, different iconography of the, what we would say, the Dormition, or the passing of, from this life of Mary. And then there's an Orthodox church by Gethsemane that claims to house the tomb of Mary, the tomb that would have been empty. So, you know, we have Jerusalem as a very viable and strong option. That church for the tomb has been there since at least 451 A.D. So people have gone there and reverenced it as the site of where the tomb was. Now, I would say that that's confirmed by two of the biographers that I look at,
right.
Maximus the Confessor and Maria Agreda. But Anne Catherine Emmerich, who had her own visions of the life of Mary, and her name might be familiar because of the Passion of the Christ and
sure.
Mel Gibson, that in her version, she says that Mary passes away in Ephesus, and that there was a tomb in Ephesus.
Hmm.
And I think that one thing that could validate this, not that I'm saying that it's true, because I'm only making assumptions here, that when in Ephesus, there's this nun who funds an excavation based upon the writings of Anne Catherine Emmerich,
mm-hmm.
and is able to discover the house of Mary and everything else that she saw, that Anne Catherine Emmerich saw. And so, you know, a nun many years removed from her, and then thinking even just about this nun who never went there, but yet was able to describe in such great detail that they were able to find the very house of Mary. And if you go to Turkey, if you go to Ephesus, you can go to the house of Mary. And so, you know, did it happen there? That's, I guess, a question that's open and one that we don't know the answer to.
This is fascinating, Father. I really appreciate the insight because it makes Mary real to us. And I think as we start to think about these things, we have about 2 minutes left, and I want to make sure that we get your blessing before you leave. But I have one final question for you. Any idea about how old Mary was when the Assumption took place?
You know, that's a very speculative question, and
yeah.
There's no definitive answer. The three biographers that I looked at actually all give a different age, you know, 80, 70, 64. So really there's no common answer. I think we can calculate that an age just based upon how old she may have been when she had Jesus, the 33 years she had, and then the reality that she lived in the early church. So there's no definitive age.
Again, it really, it technically doesn't matter, but it's kind of neat to think about it because to me it makes Mary very real when I think about, well, yeah, she was elderly and she was assumed. Now, did she die? And, you know, I think it's a very fascinating thing. Father, before you go, and again, I want to make sure that everybody knows they can find you online at edwardlooney.com. Is that correct, Father?
That's correct, yes.
And also you're on Twitter and you are on Facebook.
Yes. You know, handle is @FR Edward Looney, and they'll find me there.
All right. You are doing some good work, Father. Before you go, would you leave us with your blessing, please?
Sure. I would be happy to do so. So through the intercession of Mary, the Mother of God, who is assumed into heaven and now loves us from heaven above. May we know of her prayers this day, and may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Father, thank you so much for really helping us to grow closer to our Blessed Mother. Thanks for all you do.
My pleasure, and thank you for everything that you do, too, online.
Oh, my pleasure. We're going to have you back on again, hopefully.
I hope so.
All right, keep up the good work. Father Edward Looney, make sure you check out his book, A Heart Like Mary's. Dave Parker, he is doing some great work. Wasn't that a fascinating topic?
It was beautiful. I could have listened another hour.
I know. He has really done his homework with this, so make sure you check out this blog, Making Assumptions About the Assumption. It's over at Catholic Exchange. I will have it linked at spiritinthemorning.com. Father Edward Looney, great job reflecting on the Assumption of the Blessed Mother. When we come back, we're going to do the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. And as you can imagine, it will have something to do with the Blessed Mother. Stay tuned.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Holly Hill Health Foods, a family-owned business for over 25 years, located at 1200 Welsh Road, North Wales, PA. They offer a large selection of vitamins, minerals, herbs, formulas, and three nutritionists to serve you. Call them at 215-361-7770 or visit their website at www.hollyhillhealth.com.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Luke 1:39, Mary visited her cousin Elizabeth, whose baby leapt in her womb at the approach of Mary and the nearness of his salvation within her womb. Elizabeth acknowledged Mary as the mother of her Lord and how honored she was to be visited by her. In the response that has come to be known as her Magnificat, Mary said that there was no reason to congratulate her, since it was all the work of the Lord. Her good fortune lies in the fact that God has noticed one as small as she. God is gracious, especially to the lowly and the poor. It is through such humility that God sent his Son into the world. Today we celebrate the return of this lowly servant to her God. As we celebrate the bodily assumption of Mary into heaven, we acknowledge the sacredness of her mission in giving birth to the Savior and God's determination that she be so blessed. No wonder we honor her so. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
More enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Simak.
There's a peace I've come to know. Though my heart and flesh may fail, there's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. Darkness breaks to light and the shadows disappear, and my faith shall be my eyes. Jesus. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. Victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when He calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. And I hear the voice of many angels sing, worthy is the Lamb. And I
Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek. That was Chris Tomlin. The name of this song, I Will Rise. Yep, we're all going to rise one day with the Lord. Today we celebrate the solemnity of the Assumption of the Blessed Mother when she was assumed into heaven. Man, what a spectacular event that must have been. Think about that a little today. Being reunited with Jesus in heaven. Make sure if you're able to, if you're physically able to, you get to Mass today because it is a holy day of obligation. Today's Be Not Afraid Bible verse, Revelation 12:1, a great sign appeared in the sky, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. Who does that sound like it might be referring to?
Oh, yes, sir.
Our Blessed Mother.
Our beautiful Blessed Mother.
Who is waiting in heaven for us to help us, to assist us. So make sure you turn to your mom today. Mr. Parker is very politely raising his hand. So I think he has something.
Mr. Zimek. Mr. Zimek. No,
you're so polite, Dave.
What Father Looney said. I mean, the love was so great between the son and the mother. That just struck me how strong that love is. I mean, stronger than anything.
Yeah.
She came. Come on, Mom. Do you want to come on?
Yeah. What a joyous what a joyous occasion that must have been.
Oh man, that just all that Father Looney.
Yeah, wasn't he good?
Wasn't that so good?
Yeah, Father is really good, and he's so reliable and willing to come on the show whenever I need him. He's from the Diocese of Green Bay, Wisconsin, so he's an hour earlier. So he makes the time for us, and I'm really grateful. Deacon Greg Kander was great as well. Mm-hmm. He was a good guest. He was a first-time guest on
good
the show.
Good guest, Gary.
Yep. Holy Spirit is good to us, brings us some really good guests. Dave, we were having a very intelligent and interesting discussion on the break about your bedtime. I find this fascinating. And I, just because okay. we're on the air and we've got... Yeah. Right now, Frank's eyes...
This is why we don't broadcast during the breaks. I just want to be very clear in this.
I think our listeners want to know about Dave Parker's bedtime.
Really?
Are you kidding? His fading?
His fading, yeah.
Well, Gary asked me, like, you really go to bed at 8? Well, I go to bed, and I might do some little Facebooking, but then I stop because all that activity keeps you awake. And then I just do some words with friends, and then I just start, and then I cut all that off, and I try to be asleep by 8:30, quarter of 9, because I get up at 4, you know.
And what's about this fading concept?
I said with Alexa.
Yeah,
you can fade, you can program your lights to fade, like from 100%.
So the Amazon Echo.
Gradually fades the
light. Well, the settings. Yeah,
that's
if you have, like,
neat.
The Philips bulbs in them or whatever, the Wemo, you can actually tell it to fade.
And well, let me tell
over
you this
how long of a period of time.
Like, yeah, well, I mean, it might be over 10, 15 minutes.
That's pretty neat.
My wife Barbara set that up, and I didn't know it.
If it's the Philips Hue, you could probably even tell it to change colors for you if you really wanted to.
Did you hear that, Barbara?
Wow.
But that's Barbara neat. Didn't tell me this. I mean, and all of a sudden... It's getting dim, and I'm thinking, oh, Lord, my vision.
That's classic.
I said, Barbara, I can't see. Oh, no. I said, Barbara, what are you doing
I can actually see that.
Yeah. I kidded her. I said, Barbara, you know, what are you doing? I can't see anymore. It's dark. Okay, what did you do? Was it Alexa and Amazon?
You're thinking you've got electricity problems, right? That would be me. Like, oh, no, we got electricity problems. Oh, man. But that's a pretty cool concept. So... It pretty much forces you to kind of fade out gradually. Yeah. And
you can.
I'll have to just think about those fading lights. I don't have the fading lights, but I do have it, Frank, I know you're
going to have it by tomorrow.
Well, I have it all programmed in so I can turn off a lot of my lights via the Amazon Echo. I can even turn on my TV or turn off my TV and tell it to turn certain channels.
Now, absolutely. I don't know too much about Alexa, but Alexa can fade your lights. Is it possible that she is fading this show right now and we're just fading on our own.
Back to our, exactly. But just to get back to your guest, I thought the deacon was great.
Yeah, I figured you'd like him.
Yeah, I liked him a lot. And I think that, you know, Pope Francis does make many people feel uncomfortable. But I would even challenge that he also makes some people very comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I think it's good because now they feel a part of the faith because he's all about, you know, a lot of things that, you know, come from him is things we should be doing.
Absolutely.
Going out and helping the poor, going out and doing actions within, as opposed to going out and judging and doing all kinds of other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's good things that are coming from Pope Francis, and there's definitely going to be people that are out there that are going to be comfortable. I can also say there's definitely people that are very uncomfortable.
Right.
And so it's really good. We have to have these conversations, but at the end of the day, our faith is about action. It is about mercy.
Amen. Amen. Preach it, brother.
All right.
Well, we are just about out of time. Man, Frank is on fire. We're going to miss you when you're not here, when you're going to be traveling for
a few
days.
We're not going to let you go. But
that's right. Anyway, thank you for tuning into the program today, and we really appreciate that you start your morning with us. We love being here for you. We're going to give it to you straight. That's what we try to do. We try to inspire you. We try to lift you up, but we're going to give you the truth. Sometimes the truth is a little uncomfortable, but that's okay because Jesus made a lot of people uncomfortable in his time too. That's where we're going to get to heaven, by really listening to the Lord and sometimes moving out of our comfort zones. I hear my music. That means it's time for me to take off. I want to thank you again for listening. On behalf of Dave Parker, Frank Elias, and I'm Gary Zimak, saying God bless you, and remember, whatever you do today, wherever you go, make sure that you remember the Lord is with you. Not only say hi to him, but say hi to your blessed mother today too on this special day. God bless you. See you next time.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating